Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here. And before we get started today, I want to share with you one major thing that has made a difference in my life, and that's working out and nutrition. So besides staying mentally fit, it's important to take care of your body, right? And that means having more energy and more focus throughout the day. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have really long days, and I need every advantage that I can get to keep up with my three kids. So my wife, Casey, has created an amazing online program that walks you through step-by-step how to work out and what to eat. The best part about it is she's taken out all the guesswork and what to do and how to do it. She shows you everything. She shoots videos, answers questions, walks you through the whole process. And honestly, the best part about it, besides the last thing that I said, is it's less than $20 a month. I don't know of anywhere you can get such an amazing program for less than $20 a month. So if you will go to our website on areyoureal.org, you'll see a banner on the right side of my beautiful wife. And if you will click on the banner, it'll take you right where you need to go to get started. And the way we've done that is we've created it all through Facebook. So all you have to do is click on there and it will walk you through and put you into a small private Facebook community. And also all the time I get questions about supplements, what to take, how to take them, do they really work? And we've taken care of that also. If you will send me a message through our website or through Facebook on Are You Real, I will gladly send you some samples of my favorite products that I take every day that help me stay focused and full of energy. So again, Facebook me, private message, send me an email. I will send you samples for free to help you get started. Jump on there, click on the link, send me a message, and we just want to get you mentally strong, physically fit, and for you to be the best you can be. Have a blessed day. Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am fired up for today's very special guest, Moses Uvier. Moses, you fired up and ready to roar?
Yo, I'm super, super ready to roar. Let's do it, baby. Let's do it.
Yeah, all right. So Moses is an American rapper. He got his start in his hometown of Dallas, Texas. His family is from a small town in Nigeria, and he is the first from his village to be born in America. Moses has been on 10 national tours, one international tour, and he has released 3 albums and now on his 4th release entitled Kingdom of the Fallen, in which it has reached the top 100 of iTunes charts and is now on a mission to bring hope and encouragement with his lyrics with a divine focus on kingdom building. All right, Moses, I barely scratched the surface of who you are and what you're doing, man. I want you to dive into your rapping, your interests, and your passion for Jesus, my friend.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of my interest kind of started with just how I grew up in my environment. You know, I was around guys that I looked up to that, like, weren't necessarily living, like, the best life. They were, like, gangbangers and drug dealers. And they rapped as well. And that was kind of my first experience to rap into hip hop culture, was seeing those guys in my neighborhood rapping. And I saw them like with nice cars, with like a really cool necklace and really cool chain, really dope clothes. And I was like, man, so they rap too. So in order to be successful in my mind, I thought like, oh, I need to learn how to rap so I can be like these guys, because I want a beautiful girl. I want a nice car. I want a really dope chain. And so that's what my ambition was. And so at first they were trying to get me to be down with them. Like, hey, like, you know, you should drug deal or you should gangbang. But I never felt comfortable doing that. But rapping, I felt like I could jump in and earn my respect with them. And that's kind of how I got exposed to the culture. And after a while, those guys that I grew up with kind of fell off and stopped doing it. But I fell so in love with like the art of writing and articulating my thoughts through rhyme. Like, I was like, yo, I got to keep doing this because this is special for me. And it was always just initially something I wanted to do just to be cool, to like get girls and earn respect. But God had just really morphed it and changed it into something a lot different.
So I find it really interesting. So you had already found your interest, your passion, or whatever. Obviously, that was rapping. You get into, at what point do you get saved and you realize, you like kind of have this moment, you're thinking, hey, man, I love rapping. I love what I'm doing. But obviously, the path that I'm going down maybe isn't what God has for me. But he's not calling you to not rap. He's just, you kind of, do you have a moment where you realize, like, maybe I need to change my lyrics or need to change the direction I'm going with my music?
Yeah, so it's like, it's kind of crazy because, man, I was never, ever, like, super aggressive or really inappropriate with my lyrics. I always just rapped about my life. And so I talked about growing up poor. I talked about having scummy clothes. I talked about having to wear chili bowl haircuts because my dad didn't know how to, like, cut hair and he couldn't afford to take me to a barber shop. So I always talked about those things in my raps. But I met when I met the Lord is when I met him in college. And It was a complete, like, lifestyle change for me. So at the time, you know, my family is going through a lot of turmoil. You know, my parents get divorced and, you know, my dad gets this extreme passion for the Lord, like, during that time. And I was like freshman in high school and he gives his life to the Lord and he goes from just being like very chill, regular dad to, hey, we're going to read the Bible, watch TBN every single day. And it was like really weird for me. But when I graduated from high school and got into college, I was asking myself all these questions like, what do I want to become? Who do I want to be? What type of man do I want to be? And I remember being asked those questions a lot and I didn't really have an answer for it. And so I remember when I was asked, okay, Moses, what's your major going to be? I said, yo, I'm going to be a dentist. And everyone was like, why? Why do you want to be a dentist? And at the time, I was like fascinated with gold grills. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to be a dentist so I can make gold grills. Well, that was the only reason why I went to school.
I love that, dude. That is hilarious.
And I mean, that was my real ambition. I was like, I'm just going to make gold grills for the rest of my life because I don't really know what I want to be. And so I'm in school. I graduated from high school and I'm sitting here saying, I don't really want to do this. And I'm asking God, like, okay, God, I hear about you. I've heard about you all my life. I don't know if you're real. If you are real, I need you to show up and tell me what you want me to be and what you want me to become. And so I kept asking these questions to God. But I was praying to him, but I was just like asking so aggressively because I was so mad. I was so mad that like people talk about Jesus all the time, but I didn't feel like I ever really experienced him. And so one day I was going to church on a Wednesday night because I was living with my dad and he made me go to church. And I remember hearing one of these sermons where the pastor was like speaking directly to my life. Have you ever had those like?
Oh, yeah.
You ever sat in church?
And you're like everyone's in there. Everyone's looking at you because the pastor's talking to you, you feel like?
Yes, bro. Yes. And that was like, at first I was getting mad. I was like, man, this guy's reading my mail in front of all these people, man. I'm literally about to get up and walk out of this place. And that was like my first encounter of something bigger than myself was happening. And I realized it. And so then I remember after that service, I remember sitting in the room by myself saying, all right, God, I don't know what just happened, but I feel like there's something bigger than me that exists. Please show me if you're real. And I remember sitting there and I remember just like crying all of a sudden and being overwhelmed with like so much peace. It felt like a cold shower. And I just remember like replaying all these thoughts of like everything that I've experienced in my life and some of the trauma that I've experienced. And I remember just like bawling. And then when I was done, I felt like 10 pounds lighter. I felt like my shoulders were broader. I felt taller. I felt like I really like let go of the burden. And so I said, yo, if God is like this to where he gives me peace like this, I need this. And I don't know how to explain this. I don't know how to put this in a box. I just know that I've experienced something that I've never experienced before, and I need this every day. And so I dropped out of college, and then I went to Bible college in South Dallas at a school called Christ for the Nations. And I met all these people. I met all these guys that were like musicians, that were rappers. And it was my first time meeting guys that loved God, but used their gifts to give him glory. I didn't even know you could be a Christian and a rapper in the same sentence. It was like mind blowing for me. And it really inspired me. So I remember saying, God, I want to do that. I want to write raps that talk about who you are. And I didn't even know how to do that at the time. I just knew that I wanted to do it. And then all of a sudden, I meet a dude named Emel Asante. He was a radio DJ for 89.7 out here in Dallas, Power FM. And he told me, like, man, you have a gift. There's something special about you. And I'm looking at this man like, man, this is kind of crazy. And it was the first time somebody ever just spoke over my life like that, saying, like, yo, something special about you, and God wants to do something with you. And I believed him, and he nurtured me and helped me grow into a man, and then grow into a leader, and grow into an artist. And so through his leadership, I was able to put out my first album when I was like 20 years old, and put out that album, and then started going on tour. The album just did really well on MySpace. And from there, I signed a record deal and put out another album. And then now I'm at my fourth album, and I've done like 10 national tours. But it kind of started with me just experiencing who God was and saying, all right, I'm just going to blindly pursue what this is. And it's just been a journey ever since then.
I love what you talk about, Moses. So obviously, I see that in so many people's lives. They know about God. I always think of it as like kind of reading history about George Washington or one of these great men, say Martin Luther King, or all these things that, you know, we know about them. We've heard about them. We can know a lot of history about them, but we don't actually know them. And so many people know of God, but I love what you talk about. Man, God is just not scared of your questions or my questions. You said, God, if you're real, show up. And you went from a place of knowing about him to intimately knowing him and having an experience.
Yeah, so it was.
That was the difference of life changing for you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was incredible, man, because that moment has shaped the last 10 years of my life. That one moment. Everything that I do was based on that moment and that encounter with him. And that's what is so incredible for me, because there's nothing in my life that I've done or been a part of that has shaped me and kept me on a certain direction other than my experience with the Lord.
Man, that's powerful. The other thing I want to step into, tell me a little bit about the significance. You talked about a man that stepped into your life and he fathered you. You'd never been fathered in the faith. Nobody ever, you felt like hadn't believed in you, stepped in. What was the difference of that, of you seeing the significance of somebody stepping into your life and fathering you to put you in that direction? What did that look like?
It just like, it went from hearsay to reality for me, you know, like, all I did was hear about Jesus. I didn't know anybody that lived like him or that looked like him or that, you know, would talk to his, you know, talk to people the way Jesus would talk to people. I never saw it. And he modeled for me what it looked like to be a Christ follower in Dallas, Texas. He modeled the example for me, because I was like, yo, everything I'm reading in the Bible sounds like it's in the context from back then. So how's that going to apply to me right now? Cause I was born in Dallas, Texas, in the hood where everybody was gangbanging and drug dealing, and I rap. So how does that apply to my context? And he really modeled for me what it's like to be a man and a Christ follower. Cause it's one thing to read the Bible and understand and be able to be immersed in the incredible stories. But the application process was hard for me to grasp, because I was like, I don't know how this works for me. And he showed me like, yo, these, but like all these stories have these principles that we live by. And that was mind blowing for me, because I was reading the Bible from the perspective of, oh, these are just like crazy stories that have happened. But when I started reading the Bible and experiencing the Lord through application by saying, okay, I need to read this and apply it to my life. That's when I started seeing life change, because I started seeing him do that.
I love what you talk about. It's life change. And you stepped into, you just didn't read about it or talk about it. You actually applied it to your life. And that's when you start seeing changes.
Yeah, it was incredible, man. I mean, went from saying, all right, I don't feel good right now, Lord, I'm asking you to heal my body. Yes. And then my body is healed. Lord, we're having financial difficulties. God, I'm asking you to help us make more money. And then all of a sudden, I get a job offer, or I get an opportunity to speak somewhere, I get an opportunity to rap somewhere. And I started seeing like, oh, like that's very similar to how God moves. And he was able to speak over things and they became so. And I didn't know that, like, I thought that was just something he did. I didn't know that the Lord allowed us to experience that for ourselves as well. And it's blowing my mind. And even still today, like, I'm still just dumbfounded at the fact that God has been so gracious in my life to allow me to experience him in such a way to where I can share that with people. You know what I mean? And it's, I don't know, man, it's freaking crazy. It's crazy. And for me, like, I come from a place where it's like, you gotta show and tell. You can't just talk about it. You gotta be about it. And that's why, like, I respected these gangsters and drug dealers, because they didn't just talk about it. They were really about that. They made money from doing these things. You knew they were about that. And so I didn't know any other way. And I was like, man, like this walk in this journey with the Lord, like, I gotta really be about it. I gotta see the proof in the pudding. I gotta know it's real. And so now that I've experienced that, like, I get super passionate about being like, no, you're not gonna tell me God ain't real, because yo, I came out of the hood and I'm over here, and yo, I get opportunity to talk to kids about Jesus every week. You're not gonna tell me that he's not real, because I've seen him be real, you know, and I've seen him manifest real in other people's lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you feel like Moses is the mountain that, or I call them mountains, you can call it spheres of influence, your arena, whatever you want to talk about. But we talk about business, religion, family, education, government, media, arts, and entertainment. Where do you feel like, and they can, I mean, they change, they overlap, but where do you feel called specifically to right now?
Man, that's a powerful question. I feel like for the season I'm in right now, I'm really called to pastor young kids, man. I get the opportunity to be a youth pastor, so I do that part-time. And then I rap and travel part-time. So I'm in front of sixth graders to 12th graders every week. And I feel a great burden to invest into the future and to affirm them in their faith and to encourage them to walk the way the Lord has asked them to walk. And I deem that as a huge honor. And it's been so life-giving to me, because I get the opportunity to see kids that were like 11 years old saying, oh man, I just want to play video games and hang out with my friends, to them saying, oh man, like the Bible changed my life. So now I'm seeing kids that are in college that are praying before they have tests, and they're calling me and saying, hey Moses, can you pray with me before I have a test? And I get to walk with students as they journey through their faith. And it's one of the greatest gifts I get to experience on a weekly basis. And then I also have listeners who have been listening to my music since my first album. And it's the same thing. I've seen them grow from, hey, Moses makes good music and it's a party, to them asking me deep spiritual questions and trying to learn more about themselves and about faith through some of my songs. And so I get the privilege to be able to journey with young people and have God-centered conversations. And that's my focus and who I'm called to. And it's incredible. It's an incredible honor to be able to invest into the future.
I love what you're doing. You're using your gift and what God's given you, not just to provide income and do the things that you love to do, which is, for me, that I love that part as an entrepreneur, but you get to father more people, more kids. So your gift is drawing people to you, and it's allowing you to father and minister to those around you. Man, that's beautiful.
No, thank you, man. I mean, I'm grateful, man. I'm super grateful because it happened to me. You know, like you mentioned earlier, I was fathered through the faith, and it would have never happened if someone didn't say, Moses, this is what it looks like to walk like Jesus. And I get to do that with my music, and I'm just super grateful. I'm super grateful.
So, Moses, I want to dive into a little bit. You know, a lot of us, you know, some of the my listeners are going to be listening to and say, you know, that sounds great. You've got to do 10 international tours. You've traveled the world. You've done all this music. And it sounds really good. But, you know, the flip side of that is all of us have really dark and deep lows. I mean, valleys. And I've had some in my life. Would you take me to a moment for you that was just a really dark and desperate moment that that's just on the fresh on your mind, but not just that. Take me through it, but I want to see the other side of that of what God did in His goodness and faithfulness.
Man, that's powerful. I think the first moment that comes to my mind was when my parents got divorced. So my parents are, like I mentioned, from Nigeria. And they just had a hard time adjusting to American culture, which was a strain on their marriage. And so when I was 10 years old when they first got divorced. My dad goes to Nigeria to solidify the divorce because they got married there, and they also got married in America. And then he gets detained there for 3 years. My mom gets word to that, and then she puts us in a foster home. So I'm separated from my siblings. Half of us go to one foster home, half of us go to another foster home. So in that moment, I'm living in a whole nother context with people I don't know. And I just became very angry and became very bitter and became violent. You know, I started getting in trouble in classes. I mean, I remember grabbing a chair and throwing it across the classroom in the middle of like class. And I remember like my teacher taking me out in the hallway, and I would talk to her, and I would just be sobbing because I was just stricken with so much grief because I didn't understand like where my dad was at and where my mom was at. And even what was interesting was being in that home, I was around people that cared for me, that loved me and tried their best to nurture me. But during that time, I was not hearing it because I thought they just got, I was like, man, you just get paid to hang, to watch me. Like, I thought they were just like my babysitters or something. And I carried that into a lot of my life, holding on this anger and this bitter feeling and this resentment towards my father and my mother. And so then when we eventually do get out of foster home and I'm living with my dad on the weekend, seeing my mom during the week, I don't treat them with love because I'm thinking like, y'all didn't love us like that. You threw us in a foster home with some crazy people that we don't know like that. And I carried that all the way through like my high school, you know, middle school years. But what got me on the other side and made me realize that people are people and that I still need to love them was when I encountered the Lord, you know, and when I got to that church and sat in that room by myself and was asking if God was real. That was the first moment where it broke for me to realize like, I still need to love people despite of how they choose to treat me or despite of the things I may have experienced. I still need to choose to love people. And that moment in that language changed my thinking and changed my perspective. And I started looking at the world through that perspective of love instead of like me and hurt and pain and selfishness. And the reality is I still go back every now and then and I still have issues with people because I'm like, yo, my own parents threw me in a foster home. And how do I know like, this person's not going to stay in my life? How do I know this person's not going to stay in my life? But when I take time and think about that, man, God still loves me and He cares about me and He's shown me that He cares about me. When I think about those things and sit in that for a moment, the Lord begins to remind me like, okay, you have to love people despite of the way people may treat you. And that's healed me. That's really healed me. And it's really allowed me to see the world differently. And I move differently now. And most people that knew me when I grew up, they always say, like, man, Moses, you were mad different, yo. You used to be kind of wild. And I don't know. I literally experienced like a physical, an emotional, and a mental change when I started allowing the Lord to shape the way I was thinking.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Now, I got a question for you. This is a little personal. Now, hopefully you're not going to dodge this, but I'm curious. Yeah. So you talk about, obviously, your dad left. You had some father issues. You're hurt growing up. What was your perception as God, as your father at that point? Were you, the moment you felt his love and his presence, were you good, or did you really have to walk through that process of seeing how good he was because of what you experienced from your parents? And are you still there? I'm curious.
No, that's a great question. You know, in the last, so I'm 30. I met the Lord when I was 20. So I've been on my journey with faith for 10 years. And in the last like 3 or 4 years, I've really began to understand the concept of father. And I've been reading this book called Supernatural Ways of Royalty. And that book has really shaped my perspective, as well as like I used to place my identity in who people said I was, instead of placing my identity in what God the Father says I am. So me understanding that, oh, I am royalty because I belong to the living God, and that I get to access him and talk to him through Jesus, and that I get to be in relationship with him, and I get to celebrate and lament with him. Like, me being able to place my value in on that allowed me to have a better relationship with my father and a better relationship with my mother, who both at periods of my life left me and came back, left me and came back. And so me understanding that my identity is in the royal eyes that God sees me, like, man, that's really allowed me to have great relationships with them. But the reality is not everybody sees themselves like that. So sometimes when you're approaching people and having conversations with them, like with my family, with my mother and my father, like sometimes they don't see themselves the way God sees them. So then they treat people the way they shouldn't. But what's beautiful about like navigating through that is that God continues to give me peace and continues to help me not get weary of like instilling like good and reminding them that they are valuable, and reminding them that they are royalty, and reminding them how much God loves them. He made them in their image, and that you look like him. That's how much he loves you. And so owning my identity in him was what allowed me to have a great relationship with both of my parents. But it took a while because I didn't know who I was for a long time. I thought my identity was I came from the hood. I didn't ever factor like, oh, I come from Nigeria too. I didn't ever factor like, oh, like God says I'm these things too. So it's been a journey for me. But I feel like I'm getting a better handle and a better understanding that, man, God has allowed me to be a part of his royal family. So like, I'm royalty, and I have to be okay with that. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I just wasn't okay with accepting the fact that God loves me that much. And that God wants me to be close to him and wants me to be a part of his family. And so now that I'm growing into that, it's really changed the way I have relationships with people.
Beautiful answer, man. You are a great guy, dude. I just think you're a great man of God. I love your answer. I just see God just working through your life. And obviously you're doing great things. Moses, I want to ask, we talked a little bit about your journey. Obviously, you found your gift rapping at a young age. You've come into that. Now that you have found your gift, you found the Lord, those have overtwined. What has kind of been the process and some of the steps that you've taken to pursue your gifting of rapping and doing what you're doing? How do you pursue that?
Yeah. I mean, it's something I love to do. So it's super easy to work and overwork at times, because I just love it. So I think what has helped me the most was I was, and I still am, extremely intentional about hanging out with people and being in relationship with people and buying people coffee and buying people dinners that know more than me, that have been doing music longer than me, that have been in the music industry longer than I have. And I that's probably been the biggest key for me, is just being able to sit down with people and asking them, okay, how did you do this? And how did you do that? And I would always try my best to honor people. I would say, hey, let me buy you food. Let me buy you coffee, so I can have some of your time. That was probably the biggest thing. And then actually taking the information and really applying it. For the longest, I used to be like, well, God gave me the opportunity and God gave me the gift, so he'll just make it happen. I used to feel like that and think like that. But I had a mentor and a musician friend of mine tell me once that people really miss the concept of faith without works. Like, and he used to say that so much to me. And he was like, you can have faith and believe that God wants you to do something all day long, but if you don't apply any energy or any work towards it, like, God can't bless it. And that language really, really shaped like my ambition. So I always carry in my heart that, man, I know that God's called me to do this. And so I got to strive to be excellent. So that means I might need to spend the extra dollar. That means I might need to go the extra mile, because I get the opportunity to give glory to the Lord. I get to do that. And being able to live to see God do cool things through it is just, it's just a real blessing. So yeah, to answer your question, I'm just super intentional about hanging out with people. I live by the motto of faith without works is dead. And then from that, I really try to apply the things that people are gracious to show me.
I want to dive into that real quick. You talk about faith without work. So, and I hear your heart, but I just want to clarify this. You're not saying that you're working for your faith. You're saying, I'm taking my gift, what God has given me, and I'm doing something with it. And with that, I'm believing by faith that God is going to put me even further because I'm being active with my gift.
Absolutely. Yes. And yes. Sorry if I wasn't clear.
No, you were clear. I know your heart, man. I'm just, the reason I say that is I want our listeners to understand that we don't work for God's love. We don't work for God's grace. Those things are so freely given. It's using our gifts and talents to glorify him. And I don't do it because I have to earn it. I do it because by doing it, it allows his glory to come through me. People can see how good he is. And again,
yes,
like you said, it allows him to just bless what I'm doing and more doors open.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, definitely. I mean, that's, yes, definitely just firmly and 100% believe that, yo, like, can't do it without God. But I just want to work so hard to give him glory and make sure people know that he did it and that I'm always pointing up and always looking up saying, yo, he did it. Like, I'm just hanging out with him, you know?
Absolutely. Moses, I want to ask you, what do you feel like your biggest strength is?
I think I love people, man. I think I'm super relational. I think I really try hard to make friends and like connect with people. I mean, I live by a motto too that I always say, like, I'm going to make it super hard for you not to be my friend, because I love being in relationship with people. I love being able to live life with people and learn from them and grow with them. So I think one of my biggest strengths is just connecting with people.
I love that. It's going to be hard for you not to be my friend. All right, Moses. So sometimes we can overextend our strength and it can become a weakness or cause problems. I know I'm with you. I'm very relational, and that's caused issues in my life that I've had to put boundaries around myself. What has been a downside of your strength?
Man, that's powerful. And I was having this conversation last night with one of my mentors. So with being super relational, sometimes I'm not as assertive as I should be, or sometimes I just try to people please everyone. Instead of God maybe quickening me to speak some truth. And sometimes I don't step into that because I people please way too much, because I do want you to be my friend. I do want you to remain close to me. I do want you in my life. So sometimes when I'm in relationship with people, they'll be like, well, Moses, let's just do this. And then I know that I'm feeling convicted from the Lord not to do it. And I'm like, and sometimes I cower to that. And submit to that because I just want to people please.
Are you through the process, I guess, now that you recognize that? Is that getting easier for you, or is that still pretty hard?
Yeah, it's definitely getting a lot easier because I'm starting to recognize that I do that. I'm starting to recognize that, oh, man, like, I need to be paying attention when the Lord is leading me and just be assertive in that and believe in that. And so here recently I've been recognizing that and walking into that. But that's also a part of understanding my identity. So as I've been understanding my identity and understanding that God has called me to be in relationship with him and walk in this era of royalty, like I'm starting to own the fact that, yo, when he tells me something to do, like I'm just going to say yes to it. I'm going to say no to it. And I see those kind of hand in hand, like understanding my identity and me being a people pleaser. Like I'm seeing that, man, I'm placing my identity in my strength instead of saying my identity is who God says I am. So it's been challenging. I'm not going to act like that's been super easy, because it's not. But it's been great to know that, like, God has been showing me these things and I've been able to walk into it and just take it day by day and really grow into being more of the man he's shaping me to be.
You're a wise young man. Okay. What is the biggest thing God is stirring inside of you right now?
Man. Yeah. I think the biggest thing is just understanding royalty, man. Just understanding royalty. Like, that concept, I mean, that's basically what the whole thread of my last album was, because it's blowing my mind that my identity has shaped the way I treat my wife. Like, who I believe I am for all these years has shaped the way I talk to people, has shaped the way I've made career choices, has shaped the way I pick out my clothes, man. It's like that deep for me. So God's been really challenging me on understanding that I'm made in his image and that I got to walk into what he's asked me to be. And that's hard, man, because I come from this like low poverty mindset where I was told, Moses, you're going to have to be in special ed classes because you came from a foster home. Moses, like, hey, you're a little slow, so you can't do this and you can't do that. I was told these things growing up, and I placed my identity in that. And God's really been challenging me to say, like, your identity is in me. I say that you are my son. And so me belonging to him, it just gives me so much freedom to be able to be bolder, more assertive, and more open with my journey. So,
Moses, I got to share this with you. This is, by the time this show releases, it'll been about four shows. The guy's name is Dr. Clyde Rivers, and I'm going to introduce you. But he talks about growing up. He talked about riding the short bus to school and same kind of things that you just talked about. And he goes on a mission trip to Africa, gives a prophetic word. Long story short, completely unqualified. The only thing he had going for him was he was willing to obey God. So through his obedience, long story short, becomes the ambassador to the nation of Burundi. If you get a chance, listen to it. I think it's episode 15 or 14 or 15. But literally changed his life. So he talks about going from somebody who was riding the short bus, who was mentally slow, who all these things, to God placed him in charge of working with a president and working with millions of people because of his obedience, and completely what he was not qualified for, God qualified him for. So, man, I tell you that to encourage you to believe that God's going to just do huge things in your life, Moses.
Man, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, what is a personal daily habit that has contributed to your walk with Jesus?
Just prayer time, man. Being able to get that quiet time in. My life is extremely dynamic right now. I mean, every hour is full. But I really push to be able to center myself, to talk with the Lord. So that may be I'm going to grab 30 minutes in the shower. That may be me when I'm driving from point A to point B. I'm radio's off. I am just talking with the Lord. That's a daily habit that has really helped me take steps closer to Him and understand who I am in my relationship with Him.
So if I'm hearing you right, you're saying you're very intentional about your time with the Lord.
More than absolutely. I mean, it's literally like my life pulse. If I'm not talking with Him, I don't know how to function. I don't know where to go with like decisions and choices. Like I gotta talk to Him, and I think that right there has definitely been the bread and butter for me.
Okay, what you talked about a book. What is a recent book that has really impacted you lately?
Yeah, Supernatural Ways of Royalty. It's written by a couple guys from Bethel Church, like Bill Johnson. A friend of mine put me onto it because I was having conversations with him about like identity and royalty and that wrestle I've been living in. And he put me onto it, and it's blown my mind. The concepts and the perspectives that they are carrying from Genesis. It's incredible.
Yeah. I don't think there is a book or a bit of music that I wouldn't recommend coming out of that church right now. I mean, it's just powerful.
Man, life changing. They're crazy. They crazy over there, man.
They are crazy, man. It's good stuff. All right, Moses. So if you get a chance to go back to visit the younger you, what age would you go back to? And what are you going to tell yourself to help you propel you into your future?
Yeah, I think I would go back to that 10-year-old self when my parents first got divorced and I went down this like very dark and bitter and angry path. I would have told myself that, hey, the Lord has a plan for you. Wake up, like quit being so angry, quit placing your identity in what people say you are. He's got a plan for you and it's freaking awesome. And it's centered around things you really, really love to do. I would have shook myself and been like, hey, it's not going to be like this forever.
I love what you said, man. Stop placing your identity in who people say you are. Man, that is so powerful because so many people need to hear that.
I mean, dude, I mean, to be frank, like, I'm in that, man. I'm wrestling with that right now, man. Like, there's days where I'm great. And there's days where I'm like, dang, like I let this person tell me that I'm this. You know what I mean? Like that is a forever walk for me. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with living in that tension.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that the people around you, the rule of thumb, they say that you are the average of the five people you hang out with or you allow to influence your life. So at the beginning of the year in January, I was very intentional. I really thought about that. Who am I allowing in my influence or my circle of friends to influence me? Because do these people line up with the direction of who God says that I am and where I'm going? And I want to be very cautious about who I allow to speak into my life. So definitely on the right track, my friend. It's going to get easier. But
for sure. Yeah, thank you for that.
All right, Moses, we just want to give a quick spot for our sponsor.
When your schedule is as busy as mine, seeing a doctor can be very difficult. But what if there was a service that can connect you to a U.S. board-certified physician anytime, anywhere? And what if I told you that it's as close and as easy as your telephone? 24/7 MedPlan is an amazing solution that provides telephone access 24/7 between patients and doctors. With medical costs rising and wait times at ERs and clinics getting longer, 24/7 MedPlan allows doctor consults that are on your schedule. What if it's 11 p.m. Saturday night and your child has a fever? Do you go to the ER, endure a three-hour wait, and hundreds or even thousands of dollars in cost? Instead, you can talk live to a medical doctor right then in the comfort of your home, which may avoid a costly visit to the ER. That's peace of mind. Go to 24/7 MedPlan now and register to save time and money and get peace of mind. No deductibles, no contracts, all pre-existing conditions are covered. Offer just $29.95 per month for your whole family at 24/7 MedPlan. So go now to Are You Real and click on the banner 247medplan.com and get peace of mind now.
All right, Moses, let's jump into, we talked about your journey, and man, I love your stories. I love what God has brought you through, going from the valley of the hood to the mountaintop of just your family and changing your mindset and all the things that God has done in your life. What would be one piece of parting advice that you would give our listeners?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I could be able to share with people is that is understanding that God loves you so much that he made you in his image. Own that. Like, own the fact that God loves you and that he wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants to be your friend, and that you're made in his image, like, and walk into that. If I could, that would be the biggest advice I would encourage people is there's a lot of believers out there that love the Lord, and they're just like, man, I thank God that I'm saved. Like, God wants you to live a life that's more than just, okay, whew, I'm not going to hell. Thank God. Like, yes. And that's it. And I just want people to step into that. When they do, they're experiencing the kingdom of heaven. Like, when you're able to declare, like, his majesty and his sovereignty over your life and over other people's lives, you get to experience moments of heaven. And it's all centered around, yes, accepting Jesus as salvation and knowing that he is Lord, but also walking in who he says we are. So if I can encourage the listeners, walk in who God says you are. Don't be scared. Quit being scared. I used to be scared, so quit being scared. Let's do it, because the world needs it. The world needs to see us walking in that.
Yeah, baby. All right, Moses, share with our listeners, how do we find you, man? If we want to check out your albums, we want to book you for a concert, we want to connect with you, how do we find you?
Yeah, you can find everything at MosesUVier.com. I know my last name is slightly unique, but it's spelled UVERE. So you can find me at MosesUVier.com. Currently, just released a new record called Kingdom of the Fallen. I would encourage you to grab that, listen to it. You can stream it on Spotify. You can stream it on Apple Music. It's everywhere online where you can buy music digitally online. So the album talks about a lot of these themes of identity and royalty, so please check it out. But yeah, you can find my social media all at Moses Uvier. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Snapchat, I'm on Tumblr, so awesome. Facebook. So
okay,
yep.
Moses, I prayed for you at the beginning before we even started, and I got a word for you that I would like to share with you. Is that all right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This is my gift to you, my friend. It says, this is what I got for you. I got a vision of a bull, and I got a vision of I got you strapped in a rocket blowing off to space. And when I asked the Lord what that meant, this is what I got. Moses is a strong, spiritual, loving, and giving man. God is about to take you places, Moses, that you have only dreamed of. I see you as an astronaut exploring new places. The Lord would say to Moses, I've done, it's done, Moses. I've taken care of all of it for you. Stop worrying and know that I have you in my hands and I've taken care of it. I see you trying to get on a small wooden, I got a vision of you, Moses, trying to get on a small wooden, like a peg, like a horse. Oh. And the Lord told me, he says, and when you would sit on it, you would crush it. And I said, what is that? And God is saying to you that I want to give you a real horse that fits you. So stop asking for small things. Your vision and goals need to fit your gifts and talents. What you are going after is too small for what God is wanting to give you.
Wow. Wow.
So, Moses, I think God's given you a huge heart and an enormous great gift. And I think you just need to start asking for bigger things, my friend.
Wow. Thank you.
Absolutely. So, listeners, you can check out the resources. I'm going to have Moses Uvira on a resource page. Links everything that we have talked about here today on areyoureal.org. You can type in Moses Uvira. He will be on our front page. So if you have any questions, jump on there. And remember, be real, be authentic, and be you, and be blessed.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.